Are you a sheep? No. You're a dragon. Be a dragon.
This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Herring, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, I'm Amanda, and with me today is my awesome, wonderful, hilarious, wonderful, extraordinary Monica, who has very good hair today, Monica. Hello and welcome to Geek Herring, episode number 43.
Wow, that was a nice intro. That was really great. We should try that again. Like, we should try and replicate that through more whatever. Hi, Amanda, is what I'm saying. Thanks for the compliments on my hair.
Hi, Monica. You're welcome. I only give compliments when they're deserved.
Aw, so that's nice. Thanks, even though I haven't watched it today yet, but whatever. Too much information, I guess. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Okay. You sound really great compared to last week, so it doesn't even... Nobody notices.
Yeah, that's the benefits of having Tom from Three Extra Lives step in and record an episode on your behalf when you don't have a voice.
It was really, I mean, it would have been pretty hilarious, but then I guess it would be more harmful to your health to have done that episode. But it was a bit funny to listen to you, I have to admit.
Yeah, at least like come Monday, I had a little bit of a voice. It was just, it wasn't a very podcast-worthy voice, you know? And even now, like, I still don't feel 100% in the voice department. So if it breaks, sorry.
Oh, how dare you? what do you mean you can't influence your health and voice situation? Anyway, what have you been up to while not speaking?
It still didn't stop me finishing, like, painting the kitchen. And driving my parents to Dublin. My parents are gone now after spending time with them for 5 weeks. Which was crazy. But you know what I did on Friday night?
What did you do on Friday night?
I resubbed to Warcraft.
Ooh, you all fell down that hole again.
Yes, it happened. It happened a lot. I played Friday night. I played most of the day on Saturday. And I can safely say that I played all day on Sunday.
I know the feeling, just not with Warcraft, but it happens quickly sometimes, and it gets you.
It got me good, because before we went to Canada, like, last year, when the Battle for Azeroth expansion first came out, and, like, I was really enjoying it, properly obsessed with it. We even had Syl on the show to talk about all the badass women in Warcraft, right, and it was just fantastic. Then when we went to Canada, I let my subscription run out because I didn't have good internet access or a good computer to play it on. And then there was so much hatred for Warcraft coming out of the woodwork, like, nobody was enjoying it, everyone thought it was the worst expansion ever, blah, 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 bullshit this, bullshit that. But Tom started playing it, he got 3 free days, we both got 3 free days of game time a few weeks ago. It was just something that Blizzard was doing, and he played, and he resubbed, and he was like, oh, I'm having a lot of fun. So I played my three days.
That's really hard to say, even
for you. That's really hard to say, yeah. I played it, was it last weekend or the weekend before? And I was like, oh, fuck, I think I've got the bug back. And yeah, it's back. It's back, baby, with a vengeance.
It's back, baby. But that's cool.
Yeah.
Sometimes maybe, I don't know. We often get influenced by so much shit from the outside, and then we forget that we actually enjoyed something. And just because the mass thinks it's shit doesn't mean it actually is. I sometimes feel it's just a spiral downwards, where because a lot of people say something sucks, then you can't properly commit and say, but I don't think it sucks. And then...
Yeah. No, I agree with you. It's just like, I wasn't necessarily being influenced by the masses, but I was definitely letting other things take priority, which is maybe not a bad thing because I got to experience like other books and other games that maybe I wouldn't have necessarily played. And that's how I ended up playing Final Fantasy. So, you know.
True.
Give and take. Good and bad. All that stuff.
Yeah, it comes and goes. I guess comes and goes. And I feel Warcraft is probably a game where that works. Somehow.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Come and go, come and go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm nearly completed all the, like, expansion stuff. Nearly, not completely. And I just need to grind for rep, which is always fun.
It doesn't sound like it, even though I have no idea what you mean, but it doesn't sound like fun.
It's fine. It's it'll eventually stop being an all-day thing, and I'll just do other things as well. It'll be fine. When you're caught up, it's not so bad.
Said something like doing dungeon runs or dungeon roulette in Final Fantasy that you didn't enjoy that much?
Yeah.
Okay, I hear you.
Yeah. Only it's stuff that you don't have to do in dungeons with people. So, therefore, I like it.
Why don't still don't understand why you don't like dungeons with people.
I just don't like people.
But the Final Fantasy people are really decent. Like, of course, there are some idiots, but in general, I did most of my dungeons with randos, and it was a good experience.
It's good. I'm glad.
Maybe you just... But I heard that the Warcraft dungeon situation is different. Or maybe you're influenced by your influences in Warcraft. Yeah, also, you were a tank in Final Fantasy, and I understand how that is an issue.
Yeah, it's a little bit stressful. No, I think my issue with dungeons is that in Final Fantasy, it, like, stops you from progressing the story, whereas in Warcraft, it doesn't stop you from progressing the story. Like, if I don't want to go to a dungeon, it's not going to stop me from getting to the next stage of the story, whereas in Final Fantasy, it does, and that really bugs me.
Yeah, I don't...
But what about you? What have you been up to?
What have I been up to?
I listened to Geek Girl in the News yesterday, and I heard that you were binging a new TV show.
Well, I was, in that regard, I had seen quite a bit of it already, so I didn't have to binge through 5 seasons of Jane the Virgin, but I definitely binged through the last few episodes of it.
Well, spoil it for me, because when my parents got here, I haven't watched any recent Jane, so, like, I've only seen about half the new season, so...
The 5th season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. No spoilers. But you know that it's the final season, right?
I do.
Okay. Cool. So that's not a spoiler when I tell you that. No, yeah. I won't. I just watched the last episode today. So, yeah. It's a great show.
I love it.
I feel I didn't appreciate it as much when I started to watch it. And I started it before we started the podcast, right? So it's already 5 years old, I guess. So I started it in the early days. And I feel now, after we've done the podcast for so long, it also changed my view of the show, partly. So that's why I appreciate it even more now than I did when I initially started it, because I feel it does really a lot for representation in so many different fields.
Yeah, it ticks a lot of boxes.
Yeah, definitely. And I didn't appreciate it as much when I started to watch it, but now I do more, so I'm kind of sad that it's over. But it was good.
Well, I need to make some time to finish the season now.
Yeah, it's nice. You told me the last time you were Team Raphael.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like Justin Baldoni. I mean, we've talked about him already a few times because he's very open about toxic masculinity and how that's also a problem for men, and he's generally really more of a vulnerable guy who shows a lot of his emotions in general, which I totally love. Mm-hmm. And he also directed in the movie 5 Feet Apart. Have you heard that?
No.
Okay, I think it is on Netflix. I'm not entirely sure. They have cystic fibrosis and they meet in the hospital and they fall in love. So it must be such a sad story. And he directed it, so I assume that it's really something that will make me cry heavy tears. So I definitely want to watch that. I just like that guy in general, despite him being ripped and stuff. But yeah, otherwise geeky stuff, I didn't worked a lot on the weekend, so not a lot of geeky stuff happening for me this week. But yeah, that's all the news from my end.
All the news. Well, I'll tell you the other geeky thing that we did over the month of July and finished actually on Saturday night. We watched Stranger Things season 3.
Ha! Finally!
I know. And that's... Like, well, it's only been out from, what, July anyways.
How is that an excuse?
July 4th, and I finished it August 3rd? Like, that's not too bad.
Well, yes, okay, it's not too bad. Considering you all had visitors and stuff.
We had visitors who like to watch the news.
Does he have this, the world sucks anyway and we all go to shit sentiment towards the world?
One of his favorite quotes is, gravity doesn't exist, the earth sucks.
I like that. That's a great quote.
I don't know if it's an actual quote or if he made it or if it's an Alanism, I don't know, but yeah.
Either way, it's great.
That's my daddy-o.
Sometimes I guess it makes more sense to watch the news than to watch random shit shows like I do. Doesn't always bring joy.
Well, his other favorite shows include Family Feud and pretty much any British crime TV show.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But since you mentioned it, you tried to lead us into this week's topic.
I did. So enough about my dad. Let's talk about Stranger Things.
Yes, Stranger Things. You finished it and we touched on it a bit in the last episode with Geek Girly News. But we feel it deserves an actual episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't remember when our last Geeking Out episode was. But this is definitely going to be one of them now.
Yeah, and it was probably pretty recently, I think, when we were geeking out about Marvel's Phase 4. But we can geek out about Stranger Things as well.
Yeah, we're a geek podcast. We can geek out about anything we want. We make our own rules!
Hell yeah!
Hell yeah!
Hell yeah! And we can geek out about, especially, about things with strong female characters, which, I don't know if you noticed, but Stranger Things 3 is abundant with them.
Oh, I hear you. So... should we introduce people in general who haven't watched the series? What is it?
If you haven't watched Stranger Things 3, why the hell not? It's like the best thing on TV right now.
I don't even know if I would subscribe to that. And I have mentioned it already once or twice. But if you have not watched it, it's basically a show. Is it a mystery show?
No.
Series?
Paranormal?
Paranormal? So in general, it's set in the 80s. That's something that is really hardcore trending in the last couple of years. So it's a show that is set in the 80s, and they called it a science fiction horror web television series. Yeah, which I'm accurate. Not entirely sure. Horror, though?
This season was pretty creepy. I was like proper... I thought it was creepy. I thought it was quite scary, actually, at times. I was like, oh, I don't like this.
I don't know if I find... when I think of horror movies, I think of movies like Halloween or Scream or Friday the 13th, something along those lines. And for me, that's not one of them. Or it's like psychic horror, where it's dark and scary. Well, that's okay. That would fit the bill somehow, but it's...
yeah, and like you just talked to yourself right around, this isn't horror too. Like, oh, actually, this is a horror series.
No, it's more paranormal, as you said.
But I think that paranormal and horror can have like a fine line between them.
Yeah, you're right, I guess. It didn't feel like horror to me, though. But yeah, I can see how some people might consider it horror for them.
The first two seasons, I wouldn't say was horror. I would say it was definitely, like, just the paranormal science fiction elements. But yeah. This season, there was definitely, definitely a scary element. Like, I even said to Tom, I think after episode 4 or something, I was like, oh, this season is super creepy. Like, I'm scared watching it. Which was nice, because I don't get scared watching stuff unless it's ghosts. So, it's cool.
I feel in general, the third season now, they changed things up in that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really put my finger on it what it was. For me, the first two seasons were like, and paranormal and upside down and blah blah. So but something happened here it was, and I don't know if it's just like the longer you watch something, the more you get into it because the more you want to know what's going on, but I don't feel it's that. I think it's something else that they changed during that season. Maybe it's because they focused a lot on the character's development in that season and how their history also influenced what's going on.
Yeah, there is definitely, like, character history come into this because we know the characters now. We've met them. We've grown up with them since they were just kids when we started watching. I mean, they still are, but they have definitely yeah. grown up. But along with that, I think that there was a more comical approach at times. Like, there was definitely that kind of 80s cheesy humor, which helped tie everything together all of a sudden. Like, even though it was creepy, even though it was times that it was downright scary, times that it was just really gross. But all, like, overarching, there was humor. Like, it was funny. There was funny things. And there was definitely a lot of, like, 80s Easter eggs. Like, things and references to shows and movies from the 80s, which was kind of fun to pick up on.
I think it's so interesting because we talk a lot about that. What we see now is hardcore American culture, right? So it's not something that I, as an Austrian, in case I haven't mentioned it in this episode yet.
But you're from Austria?
Yes, right? I just need to remind people constantly where I'm from, because why the hell not? no, but it's nothing where I would be, wow, that I can so remember or that I can so recall. Like you mentioned when we watched when we talked about Captain Marvel, that growing up in North America during that time, it gave you a lot of triggers as on how you experience life back then. So I did not have that at all in that case. It was interesting to see how that happened, though. Like how the things that you see now, the situation that's going on now with all the malls, how popular that was when they first came out, and that wasn't always a thing in the US. And it's just also some, I mean, not obviously hardcore historical backflash, but kind of interesting backflash to experience post happening.
Yeah, there was definitely some nostalgia for me. Like, I know I was only a child, like a young kid in the 80s, but also I'm from Canada and we got to things like a few years later than the States. So like there was the early 90s in Canada was kind of like the 80s in the States, you know, just for, where, you know, we're the little brother trying to tag up, follow up to our big brother or something, whatever. There was some hardcore nostalgia. Like, I wore a lot of neon in the 80s and 90s.
I caught myself thinking, I want that shirt that Eleven is wearing.
Oh my gosh, I have to tell you, I was in a shop last week in Lauren, so just like 10 miles from here, and there was this shorts and shirt suit, and it looked exactly like what she was wearing, and I was like,
oh, dude, they're gosh. Selling it on the Levi's page.
Oh, really? Well, it might have been.
So yeah. The actual shirt she was wearing with the suspenders and the pants.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that one. It was the one that when her and Max first went shopping, and she like got the wee shorts and the shirt, the button-up shirt with the big collar, and it was all like the 80s neon fabric. It was that, and I was like, oh my god, I want this.
Yeah, I feel that's really hardcore coming back now as well.
Yeah, super excited about it.
Yeah.
Kind of want to go to the store tomorrow and see if it's still there and try it on.
I hear you.
Just casually, you know.
I know. Well, if I would tuck my shirt into pants, I would probably also go ahead and buy that thing with the suspenders and the pants, but I just think that looks very ridiculous on me, so I wouldn't do that.
I'm really ridiculous on me. The way it was crossed over at the front, it would just, like, make the boob situation really weird.
Well, but Eleven is a very young, very pretty girl, so she can basically wear everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. But on the season, it was really different for me this time. It was the one that up until now, I enjoyed the most. And I think it's because, yes, you saw them grow up, but I think they told more story about the characters this time. So they had more things that affected, that had to do with how they built a relationship together and all the different kinds of relationships, right? So it wasn't only them being teenagers and being all in love and not knowing how to handle all the butterflies and all the feels and all the stuff, but also how friendship develops and how your history also and what you've experienced. I feel we learned a lot more about why people were where they were than in the previous two seasons, which I'm not sure is something that's normal. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think it's normal that you only get more insights to the characters in later seasons?
Yeah, I think so. Because the first season of most shows, you're really just presenting a theme, an idea, a plot. Like, people at that stage, they don't really connect with the characters. They connect with what's going on. But then as you start to learn more about the characters through the seasons, there's definitely going to be more insight into who they are, what their background is, where they're coming from, than there is in the first season.
Yeah.
Like, about Buffy season one. Is this a common ground here?
As if I would remember that. Okay. I still haven't watched that. I tried to think.
Gilmore Girls season one. Okay. Like, we don't get to know that much about Lorelai and Rory. We, like, see them on a superficial level, right? We get to know their characters a little bit, but it's only as the seasons progress that we learn more about what makes them tick, what do they love.
You think so? Oh, I'm definitely not sure if I can subscribe to that, to be honest. I feel you immediately have something with the Gilmore Girls where you can't know their entire story right in the first season, but you immediately know that's a mother-daughter relationship that's really special, that she had issues with her parents, that's why she left them, and I feel it all immediately builds on their relationship and makes that that's the center of the story. I mean, in general, it's the center of the story. But you immediately connect to them and their relationship, whereas that didn't really happen. Maybe that's why I didn't enjoy the first two seasons as much.
Maybe it's also the fact that they're children. Like, they're, 10, 11 years old in the first couple of seasons, so they don't actually have that much personality. They don't have a backstory. They don't have that much to give. Age could definitely play a factor.
Maybe. Do you think maybe because they were so young, I couldn't as much relate to them as well in that moment, because I'm now way older, and I would more when I were 11?
Yeah.
Or how old they were, 11, 12, or whatever.
Yeah. Maybe, definitely a consideration.
Yeah.
And also, like, they were 11-year-old children put in a really tense situation from, like, pretty much moment one in that show. So they didn't have a chance to show you anything that they liked other than Dungeons and Dragons, which is legit cool, so.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. And, I mean, after the third season, you also cannot milk the cow with the paranormal thing as much anymore, because you milked it two seasons already, so you need something else to keep people in the series.
Mm-hmm. And they certainly did this season with all the strong friendships.
Yeah.
Which was pretty much what this season was about. You know, also there was, like, the big gross thing. But more than anything, it was the friendships.
I think that's what I connected to the most, because I'm really disgusted by all these Demogorgons gross things. So they are really, and it was really gross this season, I find. Like, more gross than in previous seasons. And it wasn't pretty in previous seasons either, but this time it was just
disgusting. Ugh. It was really gross. Yeah, 100% agree. It was like, there was one night we were eating chili or curry or something, and it was like red and chickpeas and stuff, and there was a scene with, you know, what I'm talking about. Yeah. And it was just like,
oh. I get goosebumps just thinking about this. And that's
so gross.
That's my issue with paranormal stuff, because it's always really gross. And I don't know what it is. Even if it's blood or something, I'm not as grossed out than when it's a weird, doughy situation kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it's unpleasant to say the least.
That's very, very nicely put.
I'm a nice person sometimes.
Yeah, but just thinking about this sometimes. It's really... That's also why I just saw one season of freaking X-Files and stopped watching after. Because X-Files, it was too gross. X-Files is so good,
though. You just need to get over your grossness and watch it.
I can't. Dude, I can't smell anything. I'm fine with people farting next to me, talking about poop all the time. But I have my limits. Apparently, it's paranormal, gross, slimy things. Yeah, I know. It's hard, hard life I'm living.
I was going to say, it sounds such a hard life, Monica.
Yeah, relationships, friendships. What are your takeaways?
I have two.
Yes.
Number one, the relationship between Eleven and Max was phenomenal because they kind of started out the season a bit as rivals or like not being too sure but being the only girls in their boy gang. And by what, episode 3 or 4, they were besties. And just that development and evolution of female friendship was, I loved every second of it. And my other takeaway is between Dustin and Steve. Because both of them are, like, just genuinely my favorite characters. I love them. Steve was such a douche in the first season. I didn't like him. But starting season 2, I was like, I love Steve. He's such a good character. And, I mean, I suppose, like, that is a real credit to Joe Keery, the actor. Because in season 1, I really did not like him. And, like, to have that kind of response is pretty cool. When you're like, oh, wow, I did not like that character. Good actor. And then did have a total 180 and like him from season 2. So it was cool. And the thing that I really liked about Dustin and Steve is the age difference. And that it was like cool and normal for Steve to be friends with a kid like, say, 5 years younger than him. Mm-hmm. Which like is a wee bit weird, I guess, but it's also cool.
Let's be honest, it's just a wee bit weird when you're in that age that they are in or that they portray to be in, because 10 years down the line, nobody gives a shit anymore.
Yeah.
But in that, a year seems like ages when you're 12 or 11 or whatever. So
exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think, like, say they're 13 right now. I'm not actually even sure what age they're supposed to be in this show. So let's say that they're like 13, and then I assume that Steve would be around like 17 or 18 because he's just graduated. Yeah. So he's getting ready to go off to college, or well, not as the case may be.
Yeah.
So that's like a 4 or 5 year age difference, which now for us, like, so I'm 33, so being friends with somebody 28 is not unheard of. Like, I've got friends that are 28, but when I was 18, to be friends with a 13-year-old, like that kind of good friends, it was unheard of.
Yeah, 100%. I find that the portrayal of Steve in general is something that speaks so much about school dynamics and actually how being the super popular kid in school doesn't mean shit in real life sometimes. Because that's often something that kids aspire. They want to be the popular one because they're liked by everyone, but that doesn't mean anything in the end. It doesn't, on the one hand, it doesn't mean that they're automatically assholes, like it was portrayed in the first season. So yes, he was in the role, he was an ass, but he also had big emotions for Nancy in that regard. But also it doesn't mean that he can't be a decent guy, and it doesn't mean that his popularity remains after school.
Mm-hmm.
And it always seems to kids in that age or to teenagers in that age that that's the most important thing and their life depends on it. But it doesn't, in on the long term, in the big picture, it doesn't really.
No. That reminds me of some, like, a real life story that I'm just going to hijack this conversation for. So I went to high school, and there was, obviously I went to high school, and there was this group of guys that were 4 years older than us, three or four, it doesn't matter. And there was three of them. I'm not going to name them because you'll find out why. And they were like, quote unquote, the popular kids. So they graduated, went off to university or college or whatever. And like these guys, okay, I'll try to describe them. So one of them was like Mr. Popular. They're all Mr. Popular, but one of them was like Mr. Almost Too Good. They're all friends, but he was like almost too good. He would talk to you, but not really, because he was funny, and he was the everyman's man, but he still kind of thought that he was too good for you. So we'll call him, like, everyman's man. And then there was this guy who was, like, ridiculously attractive, and he was friendly with everyone. He had a brilliant personality. He worked at, like, a local store in the mall, and, like, he would chat with you and hang out with you, like, while at work, and he was just really down to earth, despite being super popular. And then the third guy was totally different again. He was a skateboarder, he was a snowboarder, he didn't really talk to you, anybody really, but he was, like,
Too cool for school.
But, like, the three of them were really good friends. So anyways, fast forward to the university year. One didn't go to university, one did, and one dropped out. So the guy that dropped out was the everyman's man, the Mr., like, I'm super popular, but also I'm kind of a dick. And he ended up going and working in our local mall, and that's it. That's all he's ever done. As far as I know, he's still working in the local mall. And this is, like, 14 years later. The guy that was too cool for school, as far as I know, he is just a big stoner right now, and he just snowboards, like, but he's not a famous snowboarder. He just, like, goes to ski resorts. So he works at a ski resort, which is, like, totally legit. Like, I'm not saying that these are all, like, these are bad career choices or anything. I'm just saying, like, these are the routes that they've taken. And then Mr. Nice Guy is now famous. He works for Entertainment Tonight in the States. Yeah, he's, like, still really famous, still really good looking, and still, like, super genuinely really nice to people. It's just, I don't know what my point was, but it just reminded me of, like, the being popular.
You can end up anywhere.
You can end up anywhere, and it's not the be-all and end-all. But the thing that I think matters most, in particular about those three guys, is that the guy who was really nice to everyone, he's the one that's ended up on top.
Yeah. I like that story. It's a good story.
Thanks. It was kind of random and not really anything to do with what we're talking about.
Oh, but, I feel it does. What? Because I think it's very important to remember that, because kids these days think life is over. It's a life and death situation and I'm not saying bullying isn't a tough situation to be in, but I think if you consider that there is an end in sight, and that it doesn't, because you're bullied now or because you have a tough time in school now, doesn't mean that it has to be like that when you're older, or it doesn't mean that your entire life is going to be like this. And the same thing goes that it doesn't mean that all the popular kids will end up at the top. They might as well end out wherever life takes them. So it doesn't, in the big picture, it doesn't mean anything. It's still really painful, but I think sometimes life gives us these quests to conquer them, and sometimes some people get them really early in life, which is very unfortunate, and some people get them later in life, and they might as well not handle them very well, whereas the people who deal with shit in a very young age might handle them amazing. Mm-hmm. So stick to it, it will get better eventually, is what I'm saying. And I feel that you could see that in Stranger Things season 3 quite well, that you could end up and be whatever.
One part that I really liked about Steve's character is when he was talking with Robin, and he was saying how he and she had said to him how he never even noticed her, and she was, like, jealous or staring at him or whatever. I mean, it turns out she wasn't, but she that conversation was happening, and he said to her, like, you know, it wasn't all that it was cracked up to be, you know, like, it wasn't everything that I thought that it, like, it wasn't everything, because I missed out on getting to know people like you, because I was worried about my image and this and that. And
I think he turned out to be a really great character. Even in that season, he was mostly out for the joke, and he was trying to keep that image up most of the time, but I felt that he had really great reactions to a lot of things that happened during the season. But I feel he came a long way from, as you said, from the very first season to being actually, maybe he doesn't seem like he's making it right now because he's working in an ice cream shop, but he came pretty far as a person, and I think is gonna lead him to lead a really great life, because he learned a lot of things, he learned a lot of lessons, and he turned out to be an actual decent human being. As you said, a nice guy.
Yeah, I'm on Team Steve. I don't know what the teams are for, but I'm on Team Steve.
Team Steve.
Always.
Yes, I do like him more now, I have to admit. He was pretty funny. I do like Robin a lot this season, though.
Robin was great, yeah.
That's the one that, if I would pick my favorite character this season, it would be her. I don't know, yeah. Maybe because, I don't know, yeah, I don't know why. Because he is that, she has that, whatever, you know, so that I'm interested in the things I'm interested in, and I don't give a shit if anybody or if anyone cares about what I'm interested in. So I think she is embracing her weirdness in a totally different kind of way than the others do.
Mm-hmm.
So they are all, like all the boys obviously are totally excited and totally geeking out Dungeons and Dragons with all the wizarding stuff and all that jazz. But she's probably also interested in a lot of weird things, but she just couldn't care less about what the other people think about her in that moment. And she, I feel, then on the other hand, seems to be the opposite part of, really resilient in that time, because apparently her school wasn't that great, her experience in school wasn't amazing, but she came out as whatever, man.
Mm-hmm. She kind of takes what life is throwing her and just deals with it, yeah.
Yeah. I really related to her, I don't know, thinking about
now. Very cool character.
Yeah. Yeah. Because even if I think about all the other kids, maybe I can't properly relate because they're really young. I do like them, and I really like 11 and how she is dealing with all and how they deal with their relationship and stuff. It's really cute to see.
Mm-hmm. I would be young and in love.
Well, that was a long, long time ago.
One relationship that I both loved and hated was Nancy and Jonathan. Yeah. Nancy, as a character, for me, she comes across at times as, like, really whiny and annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, even though she's probably really clued into things, she's just really annoying.
I totally get what you're saying. Because even when you think about whatever she did and all her aspirations during that season, she still comes off as such a pain in the ass sometimes. Mm-hmm. And she had her really strong moments where I'm like, go girl, and yes, but also I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, and but one thing that I did like that, I mean, I love to hate it, I should say, is the way that they went at her newspaper job when she would like go to the senior white men with like a story or something, and they were just so awful to her. Yeah. And I was like, I love that this show is showing this issue that was common in the 80s but it's still common now.
Yeah,
like they were just this is happening and this is shitty. So I love that they showed that. Obviously I hate it, but then with Jonathan kind of taking their side, I was like, no, Jonathan, you're a decent person, what are you doing?
Yeah, I find it generally really interesting in that season because obviously it was in the 80s and I would assume that in the 80s everything was still very patriarchal, though they tried to, so they set it in the 80s, but they made the females really strong still. So mm-hmm. As you said, they showed what's going on, and even though all of that, you still had a feeling that all the characters, all the female characters were really strong and that they were empowered and powerful and they were doing what they were wanted to do, even though in the 80s, it probably was way harder than they portrayed it. But I feel, as you said, they had a, they gave us a glimpse of what it was like. And as you said, probably still is like in a lot of places and a lot of cases. And yeah, I don't know. There was one, it was with Glee where I was a bit annoyed how they handled something. Because sometimes, I think TV really is important to make stuff visible because mm-hmm. you see it all the time and you need it can function as some sort of education for a lot of people, which is sad, but you need to see things and you need to see how people handle situations because sometimes you just haven't seen it before. And in Glee there was one moment where a guy said that he was molested by a girl when he was, who was his babysitter. And I feel the situation, how they handled it in Glee, was really annoying. So that's why I think it's really, as you said, Jonathan was going with it and was defending the situation. That gives me the, sometimes I feel it's necessary to, even though the times were like this back then, maybe they should have portrayed it differently and him being more supportive of her in that moment. Mm-hmm. Just because that is something that people now watch, and then it's a reference point, even though it's not historically correct in that moment. But you need people to support you, and I feel TV should show that sometimes even more.
Whereas what actually happened in Stranger Things is, like, yeah, okay, they both got fired from their jobs because of her, like, drive and determination to get to the bottom of this story. And so they both got fired. Like, he got punished for her, basically. And then he was just so angry with her. And I don't know, it was just, I think they could have done it better.
Yeah.
Like you say.
Yeah.
I think they should have done it better as well.
It's easy to blame people for something that they have no influence in. Yes, she could have kept quiet, but it's not her fault that they fired her. So you can't blame her for something someone else did, because they are assholes. But yeah, she was just the next best thing to blame, so that's where it went. I mean, that's also real life sometimes.
But it's okay, because all those, like, newspaper guys, they got flayed anyways, so, you know,
I'm not sad about that. I think that was probably an intentional choice to get rid of all of those assholes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And you were really happy that they were all gone by the end.
Well,
I mean, those idiots. You said your favorite two characters, like, relationships were Steve and Dustin and Max and Eleven.
Mm-hmm. What about you? Did you have
favorite relationships?
Or anything you wanted to talk about relationship-wise?
I would definitely think, I don't know if Max and Eleven was my favorite relationship. I really like the way they bonded. I'm not 100% down for how Max tried to also influence Eleven into a certain place that she thinks she's in, and that's the way how you should deal with it. I feel it was really nice how Mike and Eleven got back together.
Mm-hmm.
That he realized it was about being worried about her. That's what drove him to be. Not that he doesn't want to share her, but he was worried, and that's a different place to come from than what they always made him look like, that he just doesn't want to share her with anyone, and he just wants to put her down, and that's wasn't the case. I found that really cute to see. And I mean, my favorite scene of the entire series was at the very end with Dustin and over the radio.
That was that scene was amazing.
I had goosebumps because it, do you think they actually sang?
I like to think that they actually sang.
I think I did Google that because I couldn't believe it was so good.
It was very good. The thing that I liked about that scene is that they're singing The Neverending Story, right? And they sang it a little bit, and I was like, oh, that'll be it. But no, it kept going. They kept singing. And there was scenes of all this destruction and all this, like, horror monsters and, like, just everything that's happening. And then, like, the saddest part of the entire show, like, was happening, and the explosions. And it was just, like, this was all going on while they were singing, and it was so 80s, and it was so epic, and it was so amazing and so hilarious. Like, it was just everything all at once.
It's true. It was hitting a lot of emotional buttons.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, you didn't know whether to laugh or to cry.
Yeah. I really love that. I really did, because first of all, good singing generally gives me the chills, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those two starting to sing and being all in it, and he was just not, I mean, he was a bit embarrassed, but for her, he did it anyway, even though he knew exactly that everybody's listening and he's gonna get teased for it for probably the next couple of years, but he still was giving it his all, and it was just so good. It was so good.
It was amazing.
I would go as far as I would actually buy the song if they had it. Because it was just so cool.
I mean, you never know, maybe it's going to be released on Spotify.
I would love that. I think I already looked for it, but I just didn't find anything.
Maybe it's not out yet.
Yeah, I would appreciate it if it came out.
I hope so.
Seriously, appreciate. Yeah, that was... And I feel... Yeah, maybe that's... Yeah. I feel it hit a lot of buttons emotionally for me this time. Mm-hmm. I didn't... Yes, in the first few seasons it was difficult because got abducted, lost, got abducted again, blah. But I didn't have a intense emotional connection yet. But now I feel I do more. I'm more invested in the characters now. I'm relating to it more. I'm more rooting for them. For some, I'm not really rooting for. But I really enjoyed the general portrayal of women being really badass this time.
Let's talk about Joyce.
We can talk about Joyce. I appreciated her more this season than in the last two.
I know. I was going to say that when I was listening to last week's episode, you were saying how you never really, really rated her in the past. Like, you kind of thought she was annoying. Yeah. And Tom made the pretty valid point that, well, her son was mind flayed and she was a wee bit antsy about that, you know.
Yeah.
But there was a whole, like, Christmas-like thing and she was, like, super innovative. But
yeah, I don't know.
The thing with this season, like, sorry, we're just going to put Joyce on, like, hold for 2 seconds, is that it was always the women in this season that were figuring shit out. Did you notice that? Like, it was Joyce knew that there was something wrong with the electromagnetic field. It was Eleven, you know, doing the shit.
Well.
It was Max realizing that, like, there was something weird going on with the relationship between, like, Eleven and Mike. And it was Robin solving the Russian code, and it was Erica, who we are totally going to talk about. Ooh, Erica, yeah, being like the most badass little nerd I've ever met in my life. and it was Susie being like the end girl, because
the savior in the end.
The savior, who, even though, like, Dustin is super, super smart and should know the code that she needed to know, like, he didn't. But nope, Susie saved the day. Like, it was all the women who actually made this happen.
That's true. And I feel Hopper was really annoying me, though. In, like, some in between. In a few episodes, not at the very end, obviously, but in between a few episodes, I was like, you're just really a pain in the ass now.
He was, like, taking that whole 80s image and 80s, like, Hawaii 5-0.
What is it with that shirt, though?
Jeez. It was great. I loved it.
He was not a guy to wear that kind
of
shirt. It
was so 80s. It was perfect. Everything about it.
No, I think he didn't have the stature for that shirt. Didn't flatter him at all.
It wasn't supposed to.
I think he could pull off a Hawaiian shirt with different colors. I would still be totally fine with it, but that one was just the worst choice. Literally as well.
Yeah.
Worst choice. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, and I hear you. She had a tough time in the first 2 seasons. I don't know. I don't know what it was. Was it? I can't remember. Were men in charge in the last few seasons more? Did they figure shit out more? I mean, Hopper was very...
I mean, I feel like the men definitely had a stronger sense of direction for a lot of it. I mean, other than Elle, because, like, she's mentally connected to this thing.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like they were leading the way or paving what was happening, where this season, like, well, Joyce is a good example. Like, in the first few couple seasons, she was a bit weaker and kind of whiny, and yeah, her son was, you know, taken to the upside down, but in this season she was like, no, there's something wrong, we need to fix it. Hopper, come on.
Yeah.
Like, let's do this.
I feel what they did this season is they took away, I mean, Eleven is obviously still the one with the biggest powers and everything, but they depended for 2 seasons very much on her abilities. And that was all it was, all they could do somehow. But in this season, everybody had their place in that entire puzzle and in that entire machine, and had their own responsibility that was really important for the positive outcome of it all. Whereas before, it was mainly Eleven, go save our asses. somehow.
Yeah, that's one thing I really liked about this season, because like you were following kind of four different stories that mm-hmm. were all connected, but nobody knew that they were connected because like cell phones and mobile phones, they didn't exist. So you couldn't just call them and be like, hey, mom, we're experiencing like an upside down kind of thing. And she's like, oh my God, son, I'm in a Russian base. Like,
let me call someone real quick.
Yeah, like they couldn't communicate that to each other until all of a sudden they could with the walkie-talkies. Like they were out of bounds and everything, or out of radio reception. So I did like that a lot about this episode, yeah. That there was the four stories that were the same story but totally different aspects of it.
Yeah, and that everybody had something to make the situation better. Like Dustin had his job, Erica had her job, Robin had her job. All of them had something to do with the positive outcome. And mm-hmm. if they hadn't done it, then it wouldn't have worked. So it was really a big, huge puzzle that they were building this time. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why. Yeah, I'm totally talking myself into really loving this season and realizing why I do.
It was such a good season. And yeah, talking about it makes it even better. I'm like, yeah. I want to watch it again now that I've got our commentary on it. Because our commentary is awesome.
It was really great writing this time. Do you know if they switched writers?
Well, I'm not sure.
There are not a lot of women writing also. Sad times.
Actually. Good on the like the friendship side. And as we've determined, that's not something that men are super strong in writing. Mm. Not impossible, as we can see.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be their like,
no, strongest great, at that. Great job this time, Duffer Brothers,
mm-hmm.
who direct and write as well.
So let's talk about Erica. Okay, did we really talk about Joyce? Sorry, I feel like we skipped over her.
Hi, Joyce. Bye, Joyce.
You were awesome and badass this season.
Yeah. You made a great progress as well, and don't hate you anymore.
Yeah, and that's something.
Well, I didn't hate her. I was just not a big fan. I just connected more with everyone this season, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Erica.
What a cool little girl. She was so freaking awesome.
I think that's also something that is so awesome representation-wise. Because he's just the most badass girl of color you can imagine, who just does not give a shit what everybody else is saying and has the strongest opinions I guess 8-year-old girl, 9-year-old girl can't even have.
She was 10, I think. Was she 10?
Yeah, if I would have some recollection of how old they were. But I mean, come on. She's just, I mean, we got a glimpse of her in the last season, didn't we? She was always super hardcore to her brother and was just saying like, you idiot, you have no idea, you're unpopular, like, what are you even saying? And turns out she's just as well, just same kind of nerd, but in her own way.
Yeah. My favorite line was when she said to Dustin, like, I'm a nerd, but I'm not a nerd. Or something along those lines. It was fabulous.
I think Dustin basically described our entire stance on geekdom when he talked to Erica. When he said, you might not play Dungeons and Dragons, but girl, you love My Little Pony too much to call yourself not a geek or not a nerd.
Yeah.
So I was just, yeah, preach it. Yeah, she's just amazing.
Amazing. She had so much attitude. Like, when she kept going into the ice cream shop to get ice cream from Steve and Robin, and she was like, I want to try that flavor, and I want that one again. And, like, they were just, you can't just have unlimited samples. And she was like, yes, I can. Like, she just had so much attitude, and you were like, oh, she's just a really bratty kid. Like, she's just a brat. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, no, she's a nerd brat, and that makes her cool.
I never thought she was a brat. Seriously. No,
I totally got brat. Because if I was working in an ice cream shop in the mall and the same girl kept coming in and she was like kind of snotty and being like, I'm gonna have that ice cream, like,
I would be totally annoyed by her as well, 100%. But I think it's not very rare that, and I feel it's different from being a brat. There is also a thin line between being a brat and knowing exactly what you want and how you can get there. Mm. Because being a brat is often I'm just being an asshole out of principle. But I think Erica is just really strong-minded, and if she sets her mind on something, she knows how to get there and how to achieve it. And that I find really admirable for a girl her age.
Yeah, okay, when you put it like that, I'm just going to take that all the way back. I don't think she's a brat. You've just completely changed my perspective on that, and I'm like, huh, yep.
I have my moments sometimes.
You do.
Yeah, she was really awesome.
She was amazing, and, like, she really was kind of a lifesaver.
Yeah.
And just, like, the one thing that I really don't get, though, like, okay, I know it's the 80s, and I know that, like, parenting was a bit more relaxed, but, like, did these parents not give a shit what their kids were doing ever?
But how long is a time frame, though?
I don't know. So, like, how long were they in an underground Russian lab? Like,
they can't... We talk about probably an afternoon of situation when they were really out of their way.
Hmm.
Maybe one afternoon until the evening.
I don't know. I don't know what the time situation is, but I just feel like nobody really gives all that...
Yeah.
I don't know, they just don't seem to... I don't know. I was like, do you know where your children are?
Yeah, I was very sheltered, so someone would have noticed if I didn't come back home after a while.
Same. I grew up on, like, a main street. Like, it was not, like, a suburb street. We were in the suburbs, but we were on, like, a main street of the suburbs. So I wasn't allowed to just go out and play on the street or whatever. On, like,
yeah.
It was different if I was at my friend's house, which... Yes, she was only one street over from me, but it was like a suburb street, whereas we were on the main street, so it was different that way.
Yeah, for sure.
So there's two other characters I want to talk about really quickly. So I'm going to talk about the one that's a total bummer first, and then I'm going to talk about not a bummer. Well, okay. It's kind of a bummer, but... Okay, so Billy. Billy is such an asshole, right? We totally accept that.
Yeah, we didn't like him.
We don't like him. We didn't like him in season two. We really didn't like him in season three.
Up to a certain point.
But Billy, we got to see for the very first time a glimpse into Billy's past, and he was abused as a kid.
Yeah.
And
it was so sad.
It was super sad. Like, it was awful.
And it's really
bringing that whole toxic masculinity, breeding toxic masculinity into this.
Yeah. 100%. Also that sometimes, because you could see... At least in the very end, that he's not evil to the core. He's just very, very, very hurt. He turned it around, period. I mean, I still don't like him, but I felt really sad when you could see his past and got a glimpse into his past, and you could at least be understanding. That doesn't make him a better person, obviously, but it was really still very painful to see.
Mm-hmm.
How life got to him somehow, and that he wasn't born like this, and nobody ever is.
No, but you grow up the way that you're treated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So give a thought for the bullies in your life, I guess, because they've probably had a really shitty upbringing.
Yeah.
Or they're just really shitty people. Like, there's that's also an option.
I think it's sometimes so hard to... I don't ever think that this is an excuse for something. That doesn't make it better. I think it's important what you make of it in the end. So, yes, if you treat people in a shit way, then that's obviously horrible. But then to excuse it with you had a horrible childhood is, yes, it makes it more understandable, but that doesn't mean you have to repeat what happened to you. So, but that needs a lot of reflection on your own behalf. And I also think that not every person on this planet is able to do that for themselves.
No.
And who's the other bummer?
So I want to end the episode on a kind of happy note.
Yes.
I say kind of because, well, this is Stranger Things. So Alexei, the Russian scientist, was the cutest man ever. His facial expressions, his, like, just communication, I loved everything about his character. I thought he was amazing.
I loved how I forgot his name, who translated for him.
Murray.
I think that actor has something not very likable around about him. And I don't know if I remember him from something else that I saw where he was a super douche and that what stuck. But he's so weird in a weird way that he's not, you don't look at him and like, I like you. You look at him like, you're really weird. But I like the relationship between him and Alexei.
Yes, it was amazing. When they were sitting in the back of the car and being like, what do you mean? Hopper and Joyce haven't had sex yet. And then they just started laughing. And Tom and I were literally sitting in the living room, like, watching this. And we were laughing along with them. Just that relationship was, it really did it for me.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with you, though, that Alexei was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And that he just enjoyed the American life. And that's, I think it took away a bit from that stereotypical thing that the US often does in movies, as to portray Russia as this one evil thing, or China as this one evil thing, depending on where in history they're located with their movie. So now they have this one likable Russian guy that seemed to be kind of evil at the beginning, but then turned around to be actually really hilarious and, as you say, really likable.
Really likable. And I just want to say that there was at least two likable Russian guys in this, because there was the Russian guard at the very end, and Murray was all like, what? He was a nice guy.
I don't remember that.
When they, like, snuck, Murray and Joyce and Hopper all snuck into the Russian base, and, like, the guard and Murray and him just, like, got in a conversation, and then Joyce was like, what the fuck, man? Like, why'd you talk so much? And he was just like, what? He was a nice guy.
True. Yeah. When they then drove away with the cart.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was funny, yeah. I mean, as you say, Murray's kind of, he's kind of hilarious, but in a weird way.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that he's a super likable character. He always does play those more awkward, on the outside looking in, kind of, like, you're not really sure, is he a good guy, is he a bad guy? But he's going to play, like, this weird, awkward comic element.
Yeah.
But it worked, and yeah. There was not a lot I didn't like about this season. In fact, I can say that I don't think that there was anything that I can say, like, I didn't like that.
I'm not sure how happy I am about the ending. That's one thing.
Okay, but we're not talking about the ending.
We're not talking about the ending.
Or as little spoilers as possible.
Yes.
But not the ending.
Well, I don't think we've spoiled too much, have we?
No.
I mean, I don't know what series it must be that I would be, or how they could spin that grossy alien thing around, because of that I'm really not a fan. But I don't know what else to use instead, so I assume I have to stick to it now. Other than that, I really think I'm hooked now.
Well, it only took you 3 seasons, but I'm glad you're there.
Yeah, I mean, it was not as if I was hooked on Game of Thrones from season 1.
Hmm.
I sometimes just watch so much of it that I then that I then want to know what's happening. I really didn't like Big Bang Theory in the beginning. I was just thinking what crap show that even is, and then I really liked it.
Maybe you just don't like shows at the beginning.
I don't know. Does not sound like me.
Yeah. I wonder if you went back and watched seasons 1, 2, and 3 again of Stranger Things, if you would like the first seasons more now.
Maybe. We can try that when I'm on my next binge session.
Yeah, sounds good.
Because it's not as if I don't rewatch series at all.
Yep.
Hi, Gilmore Girls. Hi, Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Cool. Well, that's what we have for you in terms of Stranger Things. But I do want to give a shout out, actually, to one of our listeners and our newest Patreon supporter.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. And that is to Jonathan Bloom, a.k.a. Frasley the Gnome.
He is the awesome gnome, though.
He is the awesome gnome.
In all the ways.
In every single way. So Frasley is, like, just awesome. Always. You can find him on Twitter at FrasleyTastic. And he's been on the show before. He was on our 25th episode. He gave us had a little interview with him. Aww. So thank you so much, Frasley. It means an awful lot that you have supported us on Patreon.
Thanks so much, Frasley.
Woo.
Woo. And if you want to become a patron as well, you can check us out at patreon.com/geekherring.
And we would love you forever if you did.
Obviously. We would appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And you get your own Geek Herring shout out, and that's cool, right?
That's the best. Yeah. Best of the best. I mean, I would say.
No, it's like, I don't think there's anything cooler than that.
No.
No.
But we might be biased. I just throw that into
no,
the mix.
No, we're not. No. No. Just, no. That's it. That's object. The be-all, end-all, coolest thing ever. Shout out and Geek Herring.
Yeah. Agreed. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you convinced me now. Awesome. So cool. Thanks for tuning in this week. It was a pleasure.
Oh, the pleasure was ours. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at dragonpoweredstudio.com.